Good morning. Once again, I hate it that we cannot be together, but we will do the best we can to bring Westtown to you. This morning, I want us to look at James, the first part of James. And I want you to know that the book of James is written by the half-brother of Jesus. And James got a first-hand point of view as to what it meant to live life in the face of all types of things, blessing as well as challenges. And we've been in this, you know, I was thinking about the day when we started this. This is about 50 days ago that I think our, this pandemic really has felt like it's hit. And, I think for a lot of us, the novelty of this has worn off. Because this isn't a week or two away at camp or camping where we have to rough it. It feels like, no, there's some real things that we are struggling with. And big picture-wise, we know a lot of people, as Morgan prayed, are struggling with health. They're struggling with, am I going to be okay? What is this disease going to do with my lungs? Am I ever going to be the same? We know that we have people in our congregation who have lost their jobs. They've either been furloughed, or they have been let go, and it's a challenge. People that thought they had financial security later on in age now are wondering, really, do I have it? What's my retirement account going to look like? What is financial security? I know in leading. Particularly leading an organization where you thought you had a handle on how to lead things, when stuff happens like this, you know, I'm asking myself as a pastor, when's the time to speak out and when's the time to be quiet? I mean, how do we do this? I don't quite know. I was talking with the RUF minister at the University of Florida. I was speaking with the enemy, I'll tell you that right now. As a Florida State guy, I actually spoke to an RUF minister, a Florida Gator, but he was telling me about how they had all their seniors walking across the graduation stage, everybody thought they were going to get that. All these seniors are part of his organization, and now they don't. It's a struggle. But even at a smaller level, think about the everyday challenges that maybe some of us have now. Maybe you don't know what the norm is. When I go to Walmart, I actually got to follow turn signals, right? I have to follow arrows now. I can't just go down an aisle. I got to make sure I'm going down the right way. So I might have to do a whole loop around that. How do I greet people if I see them in the store? How close? What's normal? What's not? What is personal space? What does it mean to lose our routine? Many of us have lost routines. Some of us, we don't have those face-to-face friendships, obviously, that we did have, where we received regular encouragement. And then some of us are dealing with just the reality of being with our family a whole lot more than we've ever been with our family, maybe. Maybe the last month and a half, 2 months, you've been with your family and spent more time with them, but there's a reality that's sinking in right now. And it's a trial, and what James says is it's a test, and so we're left with this test. And if you really break it down relationally, I think we're left with this test with kind of in three directions. It's our relationship with God that we really have to deal with. How do we view the Lord? What is being exposed through this time? What is our relationship like with the Lord? And what's our relationship obviously like with others? What type of friend are we? What type of son are we? What type of dad are we? Husband or wife? Sister? Daughter? What are you like with others? And we all know that we have a relationship with ourselves. How do we really view ourselves? Because any time we deal with a trial or a test, I think we're exposed. And so here's what James speaks. He's writing to in a time when Christians were being persecuted. And so he writes this in James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. And he tells us, how do we face this? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, including pandemics, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know, there's a kind of a presupposition here, and that is this: consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. And I want to say one basic response to a trial could be this: I don't want to look at it. You don't want to see a trial in this at all. You don't want to see that there could be a testing of your faith right now. But I don't think, you know, if you really look at it in a worldwide historical kind of level, there's no way this isn't a test. There's no way this isn't a trial. Just like World War II and 9/11 was, this pandemic is a trial. It is a test. And we have responses to taking tests. And I want us to walk through, I think, a few responses that some of us have. There's some of us that our first response might be to test taking. We might say this: I decide how and when I take tests because I have to feel comfortable. And so for some of you who want to deny it, you say, no, here's how the way my life works. I'm autonomous. I rule myself. I take tests when I want to take tests. But we know, you know, as God is the author of all things, he decides. You don't decide when you take a test or when you face a trial. And if your response to test taking is, no, I'll decide when I take a test, what does that show? What does that reveal? I think it reveals a lot. I mean, think about just the everyday responses we have to playing a game of Trivial Pursuit. Hey, let's play Trivial Pursuit. Some of us say, no, I do not want to play Trivial Pursuit. Why? We might be exposed for our lack of knowledge, our just general lack of knowledge. Or, hey, I want to play, why don't we all just get together and play, take the test, go through the trial of Pictionary. I am the world's worst artist. There's no doubt. I mean, I feel like, and I've, you know, I've married Picasso. I mean, Lou is a beautiful artist. I mean, when we're drawing a cat, I mean, this thing looks like you could publish this in a book. And you look at mine, and I don't even know. You know, she writes her name in cursive, and you think that's like a Microsoft Word font right there. And you know, mine's just chicken scratch. I'm revealed as a very, very challenged artist. What if someone says, hey, let's have a race, let's run, or let's all sing together, let's all go to the beach, right? And for some of us, we see that, and I don't want to take that test, I don't have to take my shirt off, I don't want to have, you know, to go through that. I don't want to go to a Bible study, I don't want to have people over because what, they might be testing my what, my cooking, or they might be testing my interior design. I will go through tests when I want to go through tests because what's underneath that, what's underneath it is I am how I perform. And maybe that's what's being revealed to you in this. I don't want to have to go through this. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want there to be some standard that, you know, I'm being compared against. I don't want to be pushed because maybe your identity and my identity is I am how I perform. I thought our church was about ready to enter into this phase. Wait, what? I don't want to go through something like this where we can't even meet because I am how our church performs. I am how I perform. Where are you? Are you someone that, hey, no, I will, what? I will take a test when I want to take a test. And God says, nope. God has told the whole world, no, we're going through it now. He's allowed for this to happen. Just like he allowed for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. Just like he allowed the flood to come and to purify the world as a test. Tests, they exposed. And for some of us, we are so identified with our performance, it is ruling us. And I think what God wants to do is, no, I want you to go through this. Because here's what I want to do. I want you to know that the testing of your faith, that you going through this test and even finding out that you are what you do or how you perform is part of my process for you. I want to teach you perseverance. I want to teach you strength in a new way. So some of us, we respond to test taking, I am how I perform. Others of us, we've already decided. You know, here's the deal, God. You know this, Frank, you know this, that I always wither and I freak out during tests. It's going to be bad. And that's what you think. You're Eeyore, right? From Winnie the Pooh. You've already decided, no, I don't do well when I'm compared to a standard. Because I'm just weak. I don't have anything in me. And what God wants to do to you, he wants to tell you, no, I am in you. And I want you to learn to what? To bring me out inside of you. You don't even recognize what you have through the gift of salvation, through Jesus residing in you through his Spirit. And some of you have already decided, I always wither and freak out during tests. That's what I do. I mean, look at my SAT score. Look at the recitals. I am just going to be bad. And you think I am nothing. That's the underlying presupposition. But he wants to show you, through this test taking, through this trial, you're so much more than that. Others of you, you believe in you. But you believe in you in such a way that you've decided, you know what, I really am gifted. I am. Not God inside of me, but I am gifted. I am the Lone Ranger. And I'm pretty much the best at tests. And so you know what, God? If you have a test, bring it, right? There's something beautiful about having confidence. But if it's confidence in self, if you don't understand that a test or a trial, God has brought it to you, what? For you to be shaped. And that's what I think he wants to do to our congregation. That's what I think he wants to do to you inside your house right now, is he wants to test us. He wants us to go through this trial. But some of us, you have such a confidence bordering on cockiness, bordering on arrogance, that you've decided, I am everything. And you know what a trial is going to show you? You know what this, you can't control this. You can't control a pandemic. You cannot control economy. You can't even control your own body. You are not everything. God owns and controls all things. And so when we look at this pandemic, when you look at the trial that you're going through, here's the first thought I think we need to have. The first thought, when we think about a trial, when we think about a test that we're going through, I remember driving down to the Jordan River 16, 17 months ago, and our guide pointing out, and he said, over there, you see that desert over there? Let's turn to Luke 4. That is the wilderness where Jesus, it says, Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. The first thing we need to think about when it comes to a trial or a test is your Savior, your Lord Jesus, he was tested, man. He went through it. God was doing something in his own son. He was tempted. And Jesus and the devil tried all these different scenarios, these situations, to try to tempt Jesus into sin, to try to get him to bow his knee to anybody but his own father. And here's what we know. It says the answer in Hebrews 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. All those different situations, he's been tempted with the small thing, with the medium-sized thing, with the big thing. And you know what? He never sinned, yet he did not sin. And so the first thing we need to understand is when Jesus, he took the test, when he went through the trial, when he went through the temptation, here's the truth. It's not about us. It's not about taking a test. It's not about you not passing the test or you feeling like you did pass the test. Here's what we know. Before we put the slide up, it's this. Jesus passed every test. He passed the test of life, and that is why we are so grateful. We are unbelievably humbled that the guy who passed the test, the score that he got, he gave that score to us. And in our teacher's grade book, we get Jesus' test score. He passed everyone perfectly. And so some of us, if you think about that, and that is the first thing that comes to your mind, you know what? You're freed in a beautiful way. Jesus passed the test. That is perfect theology, that you are justified through his action, his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection. That is your test. He took your test for you, and he passed it with 100. But some of us who know that, we read Luke 4. That's right, he did go out with the devil. And we know this, and we've been in the church for a while, and we know that he was tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. Some of us view that, and we so rest in this. We say, you know what? Here's the answer to this. Here's the real answer to test taking. Jesus passed the test, so where's the beer, right? Some of us can do this. Some of us, we can be so thankful that what we become that entitled kid who does have those parents who love us no matter what. And what we do is we say, you know what? Jesus passed the test. Where's my beer? I don't have to do anything because Jesus did everything. And of course, you don't have to do anything. That's the beauty of grace. You don't have to do one thing. But what happens then when we come to a test and Jesus passed the test? Do we say something like this? Well, Jesus passed it. Where's the beer, right? Live in La Vida Loca, right? I don't have to do anything. Because here's what some of us think wrongly. Because there is no pressure, and there isn't, because Jesus took all the pressure off, effort doesn't matter. And some of us rest, and we don't take sin, and we think, what does it matter? If I deal with lust, if I deal with greed, or wrath, or gluttony, or any of the seven deadly sins. Jesus already passed the test for me, so the effort doesn't matter. But this is the half-brother of Jesus. And he's saying, no, a test is going to come your way. How do you view it? What does it mean to have good theology? Because we're all going through it right now in so many different ways. You're experiencing it in your marriage. You're experiencing it with your parenting. You're experiencing it being single, right? You're experiencing it, maybe not feeling the pressure of losing your job. Some of you don't feel that pressure right now. And you think, okay, you know what? I'm just, Jesus passed all the tests. I really don't have to go through it. Or maybe you have lost. How do I go through this? Well, here's what James says. Here's what our mindset should be. It's this. Jesus passed the test. So when the test comes, Jesus, God, Holy Ghost, grow me, teach me, mold me. That's what James is trying to say, that here's our response to a test. Jesus passed it. There ain't no pressure. Now, you grow me. You make me the man I'm supposed to be. You make me the pastor I'm supposed to be. You mold me into the likeness of Jesus. You grow me because here you have a plan for me. And the underlying thought is this: because there is no pressure, I am free to be made what? Into his servant. What if you lived that way? What if you saw this trial without the pressure, this test without having to get 100? And here's what you knew: I'm just going to keep taking tests. And with each test that I engage with and I face, you know what? God's going to show me something. He's going to show me this and he's going to show me that. What does it say in verse 3? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What does that mean? That you endure until you have victory over it. What if that was your mindset? I'm not giving up on this. I know I've got an anger issue. I know, but you know what? Here's what I know. It's a trial I'm going through. I am going to endure, right? This is what I believe. And Paul says, let me give you the chain. Let me show you how this works. Let me open up James and give you a little bit bigger perspective on what I'm trying to do in you. This is Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering, here we go, produces perseverance. Think of it as a chain. Perseverance produces character, and character gives us hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The destination in these three verses really is character. It's doikimos in the Greek. If you right now were in the Middle East, and I was, I've already mentioned that, I was there. They put that word character, the Greek word for that, you'll see it on the bottom of pots, of vessels, right? Doikimos. And what it essentially means is it means approved. So if you were to buy a pot or a jar in the Middle East, you were to go and you look on the bottom of it, you'd see that word, which essentially means approved or having character. Why? Because here's what you know if you see that word. You've been through the furnace. You've been through the fire. Because you know what? Suffering, the trial, the test, it does produce perseverance, your endurance. And once we learn to endure, that builds character in us. And once we have character, you know what? We are always hopeful because we see why God might put us through this hard time, this furnace with our spouse. And you are the passive one. You don't say anything. Or you are the active aggressive one and you always say everything. And you are in the furnace right now and you have to learn to be what? You have to learn how to give and to receive and to be fully alive, but not let desire win over you. It says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Look at these. There are nine of them, fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now look at those nine. Now think about this. Love, joy, peace. You know, many people can be peaceful, but sometimes peaceful people don't exude a lot of joy. There's people that can be patient, right? They can be very patient and they can use a lot of self-control, but maybe they won't engage with acts of goodness because they're trying to be so patient or self-controlled. Someone can be faithful, but maybe in their faithfulness, they're not too gentle or they're not too kind. You look at what it means. Some of us, we want to be the Christian policemen who only care about what we do. Others of us, we want to be the Christian professor. We want to tell everybody what we know and what theology we have. Others of us are Christian Meryl Streeps, right? We're always feeling everything, man. It's awesome. We just feel. And if you look at the fruits of the Spirit and you look at character, it's this beautiful combination, right? It's this beautiful combination of nine fruits that fight the seven deadly sins. They fight wrath and envy and pride and lust and gluttony and greed and sloth. And God wants to work all nine of those into your character. And how does he do it? Through testing. But here's what we have to be willing to face the test, to engage with the trial. Because what's the last part of this section, these last three verses that we're going to look at? It's this: let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So you're lacking something right now. That's why you're going through a trial. And Jesus wants to work this in you. And so he says, if you lack something, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should what? Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and don't doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. It says, look, God is saying, I want you to commit that you'll do what I tell you before I tell you. Here's how our mindset should be that. Look, I want you to commit that, hey, when I give you the wisdom, this is not knowledge, this is wisdom. When I give you that wisdom, when it comes to you, you will not balk at that. that you'll believe, like, whatever the Lord tells me to do, I'm going to do because I'm asking for wisdom. Here's what the Christian who wants to be alive, you know, he asks for wisdom, not just knowledge. He wants insight. Insight is knowledge plus the why plus the what's next. And when God gives you that wisdom, he says, jump at it. You cannot doubt it. You have to believe it. And if you get that insight plus that belief, watch out, because what's going to happen? You're going to change. You're going to trust that, hey, you know what? Because many of us say, you know, we say, God, it hurts. And we say, God, please help me. And then God reaches down to help us. And he does something that we feel like is going to hurt. And then we say, no, I don't want your help. And he's like, wait, wait, wait. Didn't you want me to change you? To change the situation? Yes, some of this is going to hurt. But you have to decide if you want the wisdom of God. About 2 or 3 years ago, I took a couple of piano lessons. And he said, okay, just play something for me. So I did. I started playing stuff. And we kind of went through a few things. And I said, he said, well, what do you want to do? He goes, you know, there's all these different things you can do. You can be a good accompanist. You can be a great classical solo player. You can just be a great band piano player. You can play classically or jazz piano or stride piano or R&B piano or rock piano. And I was like, my eyes kind of got wide. I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, all those sound great. He goes, here's what I already know. You probably don't know your scales very well. You probably don't know. You need to take time and learn, you know, these hard scales with more flats and more sharps if you want to do all this stuff. That was hard for me to hear. I didn't want to have to go through that trial. I don't want to go through that. But he said, look, if you go through it, I tell you what, it's going to just be joyful. It's like the Tiger Mom. If you ever read the book, The Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother by Amy Chua, said this about, she said this about Western parents. Being an Asian mother, she said, Western parents worry a lot about their children's self-esteem. But as a parent, one of the worst things you can do for your child's self-esteem is to let them give up. On the flip side, there's nothing better for building confidence than learning you can do something you thought you couldn't. She said, nothing is fun until you're good at it. It takes perseverance. And once you get there and you endure to the victory, it becomes fun. So here's what James says. Can you, Westtown, view the pandemic as joy? Because here's what you know. God is using this. God is using this, saying, hey, look, I will change you. God will use this, and something good is going to be grown inside of you. Do you believe that? Some of you need to hear that. And trust that what God is doing with your relationship with your son or your daughter or your spouse or your boss or to your job or to money, that is beautiful. Consider it joy. You are being changed. I want to end with this, and it's how a failure led to something better in former President Jimmy Carter. I love this story. In 1966, Jimmy Carter says, I ran for governor of Georgia and lost to an avowed segregationist, Lester Maddox. My sister Ruth drove to Plains, Georgia, and listened while I deplored the poor judgment and racist tendencies of my fellow Georgians and vented my anger towards God. Then my sister Ruth quoted James 1:2. I said, Ruth, my political life is over. It's not my goal just to grow peanuts, sell fertilizer, gin cotton, and build up a bank account. God has rejected me through the people's vote. Ruth replied, Jimmy, you have to believe that out of this defeat can come a greater life. I responded bitterly, there's no way I can build on such an embarrassing defeat. Patiently, Ruth explained what James was saying. When we face trials with courage, we learn to endure and to pray for wisdom. Wisdom leads us to depend on things made available to all of us through God's love. Christ gives us courage to take a chance on something new. Ruth advised me to do something totally unrelated to my business or politics. Shortly afterward, I was asked by the Baptist Brotherhood to go as a lay witness on a mission in Pennsylvania. I did. and it changed my life. What would it look like for you to engage with this trial, to engage with this testing and say, okay, God, give me wisdom. Show me how you want to create perseverance in me, to that you will allow me to endure to what? To victory. Westtown, let's be tested. Westtown, let us face this trial. And let's see what God does in us, that he might grow character in us, so that there might be a stamp on us that says approved. I believe that's what he wants, and you need to hear that. Some of us are getting down. Some of us feel, right? I thought this was going to be a sprint. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to be more like a marathon or maybe a 10K, right? What is it? What is he doing? Please make this personal. Please allow God's word to sink inside of your heart and to change you, trusting that because Jesus passed the test, you know what? You are free. You are free to engage with this test and allow him to grow you. So let me pray and ask him to be.